Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, hello everyone at Centerpoint. I am so glad that you are with us today, whether you are online or at one of our campuses. It's a broadcast Sunday, so I get the privilege of being able to share with every single one of our people at Centerpoint all at one time. And today is a great Sunday to be with us because we are starting our November series. And as you just saw from the video, it is called Anything But Ordinary. And you know, I'm completely convinced that Hollywood, through movies and TVs, have wrecked our expectation of life. I mean, they've totally ruined what we define as a good life because nothing can meet the standards of what we see. For example, romance movies, Friends. Oh, good luck, gentlemen, meeting that expectation. Every time Sarah and I watch a romance movie, I'm in trouble for days. Like, there's just distance and coldness because I can't be a Twilight vampire, right? I can't be Ryan Gosling. Like, I just don't have that in me as a human. No one can live up to the romantic comedy. Speaking of which, comedies, they ruin life too. I mean, no one is that funny all of the time. I try my best. I try to pepper life with jokes, but I cannot be Ryan Reynolds. And then you have action movies and dramas. Life is always going to be boring compared to an action movie or a drama. You just can't live with that level of dopamine in your brain without exploding. And so I would argue that one of the reasons that so many people are frustrated with their lives is we've come to believe that life should be far more exciting than it actually is. Actually, in Hollywood, if you're watching a show and the plot starts with an ordinary life, you know someone's either going to start a fight club or they're going to get bit by a radioactive spider or they found out they were in the Matrix. Like, the boring means something is wrong because an ordinary life doesn't work well for a Hollywood plot. And even though I think Hollywood has done society a great disservice in this regard, I also know that I don't need to worry like the rest of the world about having an ordinary life. Because I have a secret. My life is anything but ordinary. Not because I'm a secret agent or a hobbit or a superhero or even a pastor, but because I am a Christian. As a result, my life is filled with supernatural power. Because I'm a Christian, my life is sent on a great quest. Because I'm a Christian, my life is filled with an epic battle of Lord of the Ring level. Friends, because I'm a Christian and the way God has made us, our lives should be anything but ordinary. The only question is, are we aware of it? Today, I want to start this series by looking at the fact that our life is anything but ordinary because we have supernatural power of God within us. And this happens as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I find even in our church that there is a lot of confusion regarding the Holy Spirit. Actually, my first draft of this message was 16 pages. A normal message is 6 pages. My message would have easily taken an hour and a half to go over all the things that I wanted to talk about regarding the Holy Spirit. I'll look at making this a series for next year. Pastor Joel already has requested it. But I only have a limited amount of time. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to give us as a church an overview of what we believe regarding the Holy Spirit. And when I normally teach on a Sunday, any of our pastors, we normally ground our message in one text that we really try to explain thoroughly. But what I'm going to do today instead is I'm going to look at multiple sections of scripture so we can have a big picture idea of who the Holy Spirit is and why he makes us anything but ordinary. And then through the rest of the series, I actually want to build off of this message so we can see how the Holy Spirit works through all aspects of our life. So I was wondering as I was putting this together, why do we find understanding the Holy Spirit so difficult? Because when it comes to the Trinity, the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it seems to be the Holy Spirit where we have the most confusion. I mean, God the Father, we kind of get, we think of a father. We think of an elderly, fatherly figure, long beard, deep, commanding voice. I'm not saying that's actually what he looks like, but that's the image that we kind of have in mind. We don't struggle with kind of picturing our heavenly father. Jesus is pretty easy. I mean, he became flesh and blood. We can easily imagine Jesus walking on earth and eating and hanging with his 12 posse, right? Like that's not the greatest struggle for us, but the Holy Spirit, here we start to get confused. He's mysterious, and at best, we have this vague language in the Bible of how to kind of picture him. The best imagery in the Bible we have is that of water or that of a dove. And picturing God like a dove is kind of weird because a dove is pretty similar, like the cousin of a New York City pigeon, and no one wants to think of God in that regards, right? And so here we are in our confusion. We can actually make it very easy as a Christian to start to ignore the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we focus on the Bible. We focus on mission while ignoring the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me do my best to explain some truths of the Holy Spirit and why, because of him, we get to experience a life unlike anything else. And here's the first thing I want you to understand. Every Christian receives the Holy Spirit at salvation. Every Christian receives the Holy Spirit at salvation. Now I want to read a couple verses to you, and I want to start in the Gospel of John. And in John chapter 3, Jesus says this, verse 5. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You see, the moment we put our faith in Jesus, there is a transformation that happens within us. In that moment, when we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, we recognize Christ's work on the cross, we are saved, we are redeemed, we are made new. And for that process to really happen, something supernatural has to change in us. It's not just that we are now saved from our sin or forgiven from our sin, we actually change as a person. And the Spirit of God now brings life to our spirit, and in that process, the Holy Spirit actually fills us. Jesus says this later in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Jesus is sharing that he's gonna have to go away. But he's saying, listen, you're not gonna be alone. Another counselor is gonna come. And then he says this, that this counselor is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus is emphatically saying that this Spirit of God is not going to simply be this external being that is out there, but he's actually going to be an internal part of God that dwells within us. The presence of God now lives in those that put their faith in Jesus. And this becomes the game changer of what it is to be a Christian. This is one of the most exciting aspects of what it is to be a follower of Christ. Because God, the creator of the universe, now dwells in us. We had recently done a series called My Name Is, and we had a message called My Name Is Temple, and we learned that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's this very idea that I'm talking about. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, 21, 22 says it this way. He's talking to Christians, and he says, now it is God who makes both of us, and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and get this, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Saying, because you've put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God is now even a deposit within us. It's guaranteeing our future in eternity because it has transformed who we are. And so hear me, friends, every Christian, everyone who's truly a follower of Jesus has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. His power is in you if you're a follower of Christ. His presence is dwelling in you if you are a follower of Christ. He's here with us, which means this, that every day of our life, that every day should be a spiritual experience. Every day is a spiritual experience. Let me start, though, by making sure we know what that doesn't mean before I tell you what it does mean. 4 weeks ago, there was a Family Feud episode. I don't know if you see this. The video went viral and has become a meme. And this is what the Holy Spirit does not mean. And this is how you make sure he's not present. Check this out real quick before I say anything.
Okay. I'm going to ask you the same five questions you cannot
do.
Okay.
Holy Spirit, activate.
Oh, no.
Holy Spirit, activate. No. Holy Spirit, activate. Activate. All right, let's go.
11 years has never happened before.
Holy Spirit, activate. Oh my gosh. The worst part about hearing that is once you hear it, you almost can't unhear it. It gets stuck there. I'm going to be at point three and some of you are going to be humming, Holy Spirit, activate. Listen, I appreciate this lady's enthusiasm to win Family Feud. I appreciate her enthusiasm of wanting to rely on the Holy Spirit in her life. But I'll just want to say this real quick. Even though every day should be a spiritual experience, it's not that the Holy Spirit is simply there when you want him to be there. And he's not really here to help us win game shows. And I'm sure some of you that grew up in a charismatic Pentecostal church, you have that aunt that actually would do this if she was on the Family Feud. But here's the thing, friends. We do have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us every day. And if you want your life to be anything but ordinary, then you need to choose to include the Holy Spirit in every day of your life. Because how God usually works in us is this. He waits until we surrender to him before he gives us more of himself. Have you ever noticed that? I'm not talking about salvation here, but I am talking about growing in God. That he often waits till we're willing to actually surrender ourselves and parts of our lives over to him before he then utilizes us and fills that section that we're finally saying, God, you're in control, I'm not. God, I need you and your power, not simply me and my power. In other words, if you don't desire the power of God in your life, hear me, he won't give you his power in your life. There needs to be the willingness to say, no, I'm a vessel here. I'm ultimately not in control. I'm ultimately powerless. I need God. And so I'm going to give my life over to him. I love how Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. He says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. What does wine do? Drink too much alcohol. What's its ultimate response, your body's response to it? It starts to control you. It makes you into someone you're not, a different version of you. It changes who you are. You act differently. Well, what's Paul saying? It may sound like a weird analogy at first, but he's saying this is actually the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's who you should be relying on, not alcohol, not another substance. No, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help us act supernaturally, which in this case is godly and not like us normally. And this verse is teaching us that to accomplish that, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with him. Now, we've already learned that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment of salvation. So if we already have the Holy Spirit, how are we then filled with the Holy Spirit? It almost seems like it's saying two different things in Scripture at first. And how I've come to understand this is just because you were filled at salvation doesn't mean you are full in your faith. Just because you are filled out salvation doesn't mean you are full in your faith. Because the word here in Ephesians full is actually a word that means constant. It's be constantly filled. It's an ongoing process. To live in the Spirit means that we need to continue to be filled with the Spirit of God. A regularity every day that something is happening to us because of our willingness and because of our actions, that the power of God and the realization of the Holy Spirit in our life every day is transforming us. Every day is empowering us. Every day is making us new. And as a Christian, you will always have the Holy Spirit, but you are not always being filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we have to ask ourselves is how much are we letting Him fill our life? How much are we really letting Him in? How much are we really trying to discern His voice? If, as we read earlier, Jesus said, I'm going to send you a counselor, which is one who's going to lead us and guide us. How much are we really trying to let Him guide our life? Because this has to be a constant renewing of a desire within us. There's a great pastor and theologian I deeply respect from the past called A.W. Tozer. And A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for His people. In other words, this isn't meant to be like the addition. This isn't meant to be just for some people. This isn't meant to just be the pastors and leaders of the church. That this life that is being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where you notice Him and there's a significant difference in you as a result of Him. This is meant to be the normative life for everyone that is a follower of Jesus. That you actually can recognize and identify that God does dwell in you. And I think if a lot of us are being honest right now, we would say, I don't know if I feel or sense the presence of God literally, internally inside of me. I have enough faith to believe that He's out there, that He's working on behalf of me, but I don't know if I feel like I have a Spirit-led life where I feel the presence and the movement of God within me. And you see, friends, as we're intentionally trying to connect with Him, that is when He starts to empower us. It's when you know without a shadow of a doubt, He is at work within you. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 16. He says, I pray that out of His, God's, glorious riches, that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Jump to verse 20. He then says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. This power of God within us as His people is not theoretical. It's not theoretical. It's not just a theology in paper that is being taught. This is practical. This is the power of God through the Holy Spirit for us and in us. We, living by faith, trusting in God's promises, being people of prayer, start to rely on the power of God in and through us. We start to live a life that is Spirit-led and not flesh-led, because the heart and the desire of His people are there, because if it says it in the Word of God, we know it is true. Amen. I kind of see it similar to my iPhone. Anyone who knows me knows I have an obsession with my technology and my phone. It's bad, I won't deny it, but here's the thing about the phone. Well, once I have a phone, once you have it, you have it. It's your phone. Like you have the possession of it. You have the power of it. I mean, with your phone, you are able, within seconds, as long as you have a good internet connection, to have almost all of the knowledge of the history of the world. You can watch any movie that has ever been created right there. You can do complex math problems. From my phone, I have every photo that I have ever taken. There are over 276,000 photos I have access to on my phone. The power of a phone today is absolutely remarkable. It's all there. I have it. It's mine. Yet the thing is if I don't charge my phone, it doesn't matter what it is capable of doing. If I'm not getting power to make sure the phone is able to accomplish what it needs to accomplish, it doesn't matter that I have the phone. It is nothing but a very expensive brick if it is not charged, if it is not powered. And it's not enough to power my phone once and hope it lasts through the month, right? You gotta charge that thing every day. And the way that I unfortunately use it, I need to charge it multiple times through the day. That's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You've been given the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, but unless you are depending on him every day, you are not being charged by him. You're not being empowered by him. You're not getting the knowledge from him. And so there must be this active pursuit on on our end as the followers of Christ to say, no, if this is how I'm meant to live, if this is how I'm going to grow as a follower of Christ, then I need daily, every single day to say, no, I need to make sure I am plugged in and charged to the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. It's got to be so intentional. And as this happens, the Holy Spirit now empowers us with spiritual gifts to serve one another and to build up the church. Third point I want you to hear today is that every gift of the Holy Spirit is anything but ordinary. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is anything but ordinary. So as we said, we have the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. And he empowers us to first live a holy life. There is no way to live a holy life without the power of God. He empowers us to have the fruit of the Spirit so that our inner being changes. We learn love and peace and kindness and forbearance and goodness and self-control. Like that starts to be developed in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he also gives us spiritual gifts. Gifts that build up the body and help the church to what God has called the church to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Corinth, who I wish I had more time to just unpack a little bit of this, let alone all of it. But it's a church that understands the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, except they started to, like we all do, abuse the power of God. They started to become unloving. They started to become Pharisaic and religious in the way that they viewed the power of God. They started to lift some gifts over others. And the Church of Corinth had a whole bunch of issues. But to their credit, they did have faith and believe that God would do miraculous things if they trusted in him. And they understood the place of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And he says this about the power and the gifting of the Holy Spirit, starting in verse 7. Chapter 12, he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I want you to know what each of those things mean, and I want you to go to your campus pastor right after this message and say, explain this to me in detail so I can understand. You're welcome, everyone. Guys, there's so much here. And again, our church is non-denominational in this regard. We're part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, but theologically, there's so much flexibility here at Centerpoint, and a lot of our people come from different theological backgrounds, and some come from charismatic Pentecostal backgrounds, and I read that, and you'll know that they're in the room because they started to nod and maybe clap a little bit, and others came from more of a background like I did, which was more Baptistic, and you'd read that and be like, I am scared of all of that, and I get that there is a large difference here, but I can say this quickly. I want you to know that I, and as a church, we do believe that God moves supernaturally in his people today. That everything that is here and far more, that God does supernatural things because we are supernatural beings through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not physical beings, right? We are spiritual beings with a temporary physical experience. And I want you to know that I do believe that God does far more than we could ever fathom or imagine. And there's something here that we probably collectively as a body need to continue to pray about and understand its context with us here at Centerpoint. But I will say this, God gives all sorts of gifts to his people to empower them to do things that they could not do on their own in the natural. And I believe every gift we have, even the gifts that we have in the natural, are still given by God because everything we have is his. He created us down to the very cell. So it's not like we can take credit for any gift that we have. You are only you because God made you you. So you should be humble about that. But I do believe that beyond the gifts he put in us, in our very DNA, that he does move and give us supernatural gifts, spiritual gifts to be used for the edification of the people of God and the advancement of the kingdom of God. But I'll also say this, not all the gifts are even listed here. There's other gifts that are mentioned in scripture, like in Romans 12, 6 and 8. Where Paul writes, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. But Paul is still saying, this is the work of the Spirit of God within his people. And this will only happen, this will only come out, this will only be evident if we are people that are pursuing the Holy Spirit in our life. That he's a priority, that we're not trying to quench him, but we're trying to hear him. We're trying to learn from him. We're trying to see what God wants to do in our life and how he wants to empower us and what it means for us to live a spirit-filled life, that God is at work supernaturally through us. Listen, church, I am a huge skeptic as a person. I'm very skeptical of many things. But I needed to learn to not be skeptical, or let my skepticism hold me back from what God wants to do in and through me as a person. And it's going to look different in all of us. I think one of the things that the church has done really problematically at times is, listen, you had a great experience. By the way, to my charismatics and Pentecostals, I had a moment where someone prayed over you to receive the Holy Spirit and something happened supernaturally and there was this powerful moment. I've had one of those moments. I went to my old professor, Ron Wolburn, at Nyack College when I was there. A season I was really trying to understand the Holy Spirit, coming from more of a Baptistic background. And I said, I've been trying to figure this out. He's like, can I pray for you? And I said, yes. And he laid his hand on me and he prayed for me. And I felt the physical manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit literally filling my body like someone was pouring a molten lava within me, starting at my head and working down to my feet. An incredible experience that completely shifted my mindset to the reality that God does dwell in me and his power is real and we can experience it. But I think the problem we sometimes have as the church is we say, this is what's happened to me, so now this is what needs to happen to you. And the way it's happened to me, we make into a formula. It's like, that's not how God often works. Sometimes you're alone on a bridge, 11 o'clock at night, looking at the stars, and boom, the power of God comes upon you and he speaks to you. Or you're in a Bible study in a life group and you're reading scripture and God speaks to you and wakes you up to some truth about him. Or you're in a service and someone prays for you after the service and they're just praying that you just understand the fullness of what God wants for you and you sense, man, the power of God is now upon me. And it's not that he hasn't been there before, but suddenly you realize how real and how powerful he is, in fact, in you. And friends, we need to be those people that don't let skepticism hold us back from pursuing the power of God in every area of our life. Amen? We need to be open to what he wants to do and how he wants to work through us. So where do we start? Well, I want to close by just giving you three quick things that I want you to think through. I want you to write these down, church. I want this to be an ongoing conversation for us. I want this to be something you talk about in your life group and with your friends and at the diner at lunch later today or wherever you may be. I want us to really wrestle with this. I believe to experience more of the Holy Spirit, we should start by doing three things. The first is we need to surrender to him. We need to surrender to him. I think the primary reason that most of us don't experience more of the Holy Spirit is because we're just too prideful. Deep down, we're like, I got this. I can do it. I can handle it. I don't want to rely on anyone, that includes God. And until there's a posture of surrendering to the power of God within us, you're not going to experience the power of God within you. He's going to be like, all right, you want to do it? You got this? Right? You want to be a big boy? Right? You got this, girl? All right. I'm going to let you keep thinking you can do it. And he'll let us. But we have to have a moment and a humility to say, no, God, I'm going to surrender first and foremost. I've never known a real moment with that I've experienced the presence of God that hasn't started with me simply raising my hands. That's why a lot of times in worship, by the way, you're wondering, like, why are people raising their hands? That's kind of just a sign of saying, I surrender to you, God. And just saying, God, I'm trusting you right now. I surrender my flesh. I surrender my power. I surrender my will. It starts with us surrendering to him. The second thing I think we need to do is then seek him. One is giving something up. The other is now a pursuing. It's saying, okay, God, here's this area of my life. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's just my desperation for you. Here's where I need you more. And we need to be actively seeking him. That's why we challenge our church all the time. You need to be reading the Bible every day. You need to be in prayer every day. You need to be having uplifting, godly conversations with other people every day, because in that is us seeking him. It's letting him renew our mind and just having this thing where we're Christ-centric in how we're living our life. That can't happen if you're not seeking him. So we need to seek him and seek him regularly and seek him daily as we're surrendering these areas. And then third, I would say there needs to be an expectation of him. We need to expect him. Now this is where I get caught up, the skeptic, right? Like I can surrender. Like, all right, God, I give this to you. Actually, I have a hard time with that too. Actually, I have a hard time with all of this if I'm gonna be honest with all of you in my humanness. But out of these three, the expecting sometimes becomes the hardest. I don't know if it's because I'm afraid, what if he doesn't do what I want him to do? What if it takes longer than I want? What if his answer is no? I think with me, the expectation is sometimes where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna back off on this one because I don't wanna be disappointed. But we need to expect. We need to expect that God does wanna speak to us. We need to expect that God does want us to overcome whatever struggle we have. We need to expect that God wants to move in us in power and give us gifts and allow us to do what he's called us to do as his people, to have an extraordinary life in him. But there has to be a level of expectation, because if there's not a level of expectation, then we're gonna keep the bar really low. I think in faith, many of us need to raise that bar and say, you know what? The sky is the limit with what God can do. Amen? He can do anything. And if we want to see, by the way, if we want to see Brooklyn to Montauk, I think we do a great job organizationally. I think we do a great job with our presentation of the Word of God and a great job with our worship. But if we want to see reaching Brooklyn to Montauk, that's not going to happen because of our hard work. It's going to happen because there's an expectation of us as the people of God that He is going to blow the doors off of our expectations. That He's going to do something supernatural, that when people come into our service on a Sunday, they're not hearing a great sermon, they're feeling the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's how we end up reaching Brooklyn to Montauk. We need to raise our expectation. Friends, our first step of understanding that our lives are anything but ordinary starts here. God at work in us to accomplish His purposes. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to learn more how to live life through the Holy Spirit's power. Next week, I'm excited about this message because we're going to learn how to worship in spirit and truth. And what does that look like to impact our time of worshiping together? The week after, and some of you are going to be really excited about this, we're going to talk about the spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, of what's actually happening in the unseen and how it affects us and how we are to play a part in that. And then we're going to wrap up this series talking about how to live on mission through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So through this month of November, let us continue to say that we realize we are to live in Jesus a life that is anything but ordinary. Friends, I'm going to ask for you to stand if you're in any of our sanctuaries. I'm going to call the worship team up. Our campus pastors are about to come up and lead us in communion. But as I close in prayer, I want us to pray for these three things. And so if you wouldn't mind standing wherever you are, and maybe even if you're comfortable with this, just put out your hands in a posture of receiving. I know this isn't necessarily normal movement for us, but just do this for this moment. And let us pray. God, I just ask that our people at Center Point will be willing to experience more of You. And so Jesus, right now, collectively as a church, may we simply say we surrender. We surrender to You. We know that we need more of You. We surrender our life to You. We surrender our sin to You. We surrender the areas in our life that we feel we can accomplish it without You, God, and we've not let You in. May we surrender it to You. And now, Lord, may we desire to continue to seek You and pursue You and truly make You the priority that You need to be in our life. May we seek You for these areas in our life that we've been wrestling with and hurting with and struggling with, God. And lastly, may we have an expectation now. May we expect that You are going to do something amazing in our life and that You are going to step in and work through whatever it is, God, that we need You to help us with. May we have an expectation that You will do far more than we could ever believe or imagine, because You are the Alpha and the Omega. And by Your grace, You dwell within us. We thank You and we praise You. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at Centerpoint NY on Instagram and Centerpoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.